This conflict ultimately goes back to who controls that sacred place, the most sacred place for Jews and the third holiest site for almost 2 billion Muslims. And that is at the root of the issue.
That's just a tiny sample of our conversation with Andrew Lawler. The journalist is our guest for this week's edition of Studio 5 with me, your host, Ephraim Graham. Now, Andrew Lawler is the author of a timely book. It's called Under Jerusalem. We sat down to talk about the book and his National Geographic article, Under the Dome, which shines a light on the Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem.
So, first, we sit here on a Saturday morning, on a morning where many are waking up around the world and finding out there's unrest in Israel. What can you share from the insider's perspective, who's someone who's been there and studied? What can you say?
Well, it's not a surprise, of course. You know, to read that there's violence in Israel and Palestine is unfortunately a common event. And the one thing that these conflicts all have in common is that they revolve around what goes on the Temple Mount. That is the ancient Acropolis of Jerusalem, which the Muslims call the Noble Sanctuary. And so this conflict ultimately goes back to who controls that sacred place, the most sacred place for Jews and the third holiest site for almost 2 billion Muslims. And that is at the root of the issue.
Mm-hmm. So now let's get to your work. What's buried under the most contested city in the world?
Well, Jerusalem is an unusual place, not just because it's the home of three monotheisms, but also because Jerusalem is unusual in its geology. So underneath Jerusalem are caves and fissures that have been hollowed out by water. It's all limestone beneath. And over the centuries and millennium, people have taken that rock that's beneath, cut it up, taken it upstairs, and turned it into the Jerusalem that we see today. Mm-hmm. So as a result, Jerusalem underground is a very rich and varied place full of cisterns and caves and all kinds of ancient halls and homes that have been covered over the centuries and millennia.
Have you been able to get down and see much of that?
Oh, yes, although I don't think anybody has been into all of the underground spaces in Jerusalem. There are so many that are tourist sites that people can go and visit, such as at the City of David National Park. But there are also places in the old city, underneath Arab shops, underneath Jewish homes, where you can go below and find amazing remains that date back thousands of years.
Our audience, largely a Christian audience, what can you share that would touch us in terms of what you've seen, what you've uncovered?
Mm-hmm. Well, archaeology has played a big role in helping people of faith to know where to go in order to worship. Mm-hmm. The Holy Sepulchre, for example, is a traditional place where Catholics and Greek Orthodox and many other Christian sects have gone for thousands of years to worship at the site of the place where Jesus is said to have been crucified and buried and resurrected. Now, there are those who disagree that that's the place where it all actually happened. Mm-hmm. We were talking earlier about the Garden Tomb, which is an alternative place just outside of the walls. Mm-hmm. And archaeology has been very helpful in helping people to figure out what was Jerusalem like, particularly in the first century CE, in the time of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And we know from archaeology that although the Holy Sepulchre appears to be in the middle of the old city, and the Gospels, of course, say that Jesus was buried outside of the walls, that would seem to be a contradiction. But in fact, when archaeologists began digging in the late 19th century, a German and Russian team, they discovered that the walls of the first century Jerusalem actually were located to the east of where the Holy Sepulchre is today. That means that the site, the traditional site of Jesus' tomb and his resurrection, is in fact located outside of the walls of first century Jerusalem. So there's an example where scientists have been working to try and figure out what is the truth behind many of these legends and traditions.
Mm. As a journalist, what inspired you to explore this? We know we saw an article in National Geographic, and now you've got a book. What inspired you to do this?
Well, I've been writing about archaeology in the Middle East for a couple of decades. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, I really enjoyed going to places that were out in the desert where you're looking at very, very ancient sites. Mm-hmm. It's kind of simple. You mm-hmm. talk to the archaeologists and the people who are digging, do a story, and go home. I avoided Jerusalem because it is such a complicated and difficult place. Mm-hmm. There's so much politics and religion, along with the science, that it made it just too big of a challenge. And then one day I made the mistake of taking an Israeli archaeologist friend up on his offer for lunch and a stroll through Jerusalem. And I thought we would have a nice meal and that would be it. Well, he took me underground and introduced me to lots of his colleagues who are working in spaces that are not visible to tourists. And I was blown away by how much is beneath the city. And then I became interested in who were the people who first began to dig there. And to my surprise, I discovered it was actually Western Christians who first went to Jerusalem back in the 19th century, around the time of our Civil War, mm-hmm. and began to search for remains from biblical times. Mm-hmm. And this is what has really changed the path of Jerusalem.
Wow. Take me back to that first time you're there. What's it like when you're getting to see this for the first time?
Well, you go down ladder after ladder after ladder. You can go down hundreds of feet beneath Jerusalem, and still there's more to find. There's a tunnel called the Western Wall Tunnel that parallels the Western Wall and the Temple Mount that you can go in. And below, you can see grates that cover cisterns and other passages that go far, far below where the tourists walk today. So there's always more to discover, and there's always archaeology to be done. But, of course, anything you do in Jerusalem is political. Mm-hmm. So archaeology is not simply a scientific endeavor. It's not just people looking for remains from biblical times. It's also a political statement. So that is what makes Jerusalem such an interesting place, because you've got this politics working with the science and, of course, in this amazingly rich religious context. Mm.
Take me inside the National Geographic cover story. What inspired that and what's been the response?
So think about the Temple Mount. The Temple Mount is basically a rectangular box. It's been there for 3,000 years. Maybe longer, it's been a place where people have worshipped. Even before the time of the Israelites, it possibly was a site of an ancient temple. So it's an amazing place. Let me back up. Can I start that
mm-hmm,
over?
Sure.
Yeah. Let's start with the Temple Mount. The mm-hmm. Temple Mount is like a rectangular box. And for at least 3,000 years, people have been worshipping there. So it's a very sacred place. And I was interested in the history of this place, and particularly the one most famous building that sits on top of it today, and that is the Dome of the Rock.
Right.
So this is that golden domed temple shrine that people see on postcards today. If you go to Jerusalem, you can't help but see it, since it gleams out over the horizon. And it's an octagonal building mm-hmm. with a dome on top that sits over a rock. And this rock is probably one of the most sacred places on earth. It's sacred to Jews and Christians and Muslims. They all have different stories about what happened there, mm-hmm. and we don't really know for sure. But we do know that it's a place that people have imbued with meaning for many, many centuries. And I became interested in this building, its history, what it's supposed to be, what it is today, what it was when it was first built. And we managed to get permission for myself and our photographer to go inside, to go up on the roof, to go in the rafters, to go anywhere we wanted, even on the rock itself, in order to explore more about this very important 1,400-year-old building.
Mm. Wow. What's been the response to the story?
For the most part, people have been really intrigued and delighted. I think many people don't have the opportunity. Let me back up. I think many people have been delighted at the possibility of seeing what's inside this building mm-hmm. because in the past 20 years, it's been closed. It's only accessible now to practicing Muslims. So for Christians and Jews, it's not something you can easily go into. So I think it's an opportunity for people to be able to see that which you can't see as a tourist, to see the interior, which is an incredibly rich place with these enormous marble columns, gilt, and some of the most amazing collections of ancient mosaics in the ancient world. And most of it's still intact. It's really a miracle that in a place like Jerusalem that has seen so much violence and invasions and difficulties, that this building still remains.
Mm-hmm. When did you know that you needed to do more than just an article and there needed to be a book?
I did an article for National Geographic called Under Jerusalem about going beneath the city. And that's when I got interested in the history of people digging there. And I realized that there was a book because nobody had actually put together the archaeologists who were the ones who really began this, the hunt for the biblical past in the city. So I tracked the French, the German, the Americans, the Russians who went there, many of them very much pious Christians who went there with the hope of using scientific methods in order to prove the biblical stories to be true. And that, of course, created trouble with the local Jews as well as Muslims, who weren't so keen with these outsiders coming in to dig beneath their homes and their sacred places. And that set in motion this incredible history that has made Jerusalem such a difficult place and explains why today it is a city that is, unfortunately, always in the headlines.
Wow, indeed, indeed. Who or what is one of the most intriguing people or stories you found in the research?
Well, let me back up. So many to choose from. I think my favorite explorer in Jerusalem is a man named Montague Parker. He was a British aristocrat who pulled together a team of people who sought the Ark of the Covenant and the temple treasures.
Wow.
He was convinced that they were buried beneath Jerusalem, that they had been hidden away long, long ago, the time of the Babylonian invasion, 586 BCE. So he put together a team at the beginning of the 20th century that included a Swiss psychic, a Finnish poet, a cricket star, and with lots of money that he got from American and British investors, he set out to find the Ark of the Covenant. So this is really the story, the origin story of the Raiders of the Lost Ark, that movie that we all know and love so much. This was a story that is every bit as exciting, and if not more so, because it's true. He got together and they dug for 2 years beneath Jerusalem, massive tunnels. They brought in the subway engineer for the London Tube to drive enormous tunnels beneath the city so they could find these important treasures, which they hoped to sell on the art market. This was not really a religious effort. This was all about selling.
Yeah,
these valuable, some of the most valuable and interesting artifacts in the world.
Wow.
Now, in the end, they were, I don't want to give the story away too much, but in the end, when they didn't come up with the Ark, the leader of the expedition, Montague Parker, bribed the guards at the Haram al-Sharif, the noble sanctuary, the Temple Mount, and one night went into the Dome of the Rock, dressed as Arabs, carrying picks and shovels under their robes, and started to whack away in the cave beneath this rock that is sacred to Jews as well as Muslims.
Wow.
Of course, they were found out. They did not find the Ark. So as of today, we don't know where that Ark is, and there's still plenty of people who are out searching for it.
Naturally. How has this work changed you?
It's a great question. Let me back up. How has it changed me? So visiting Jerusalem as many times as I have has really changed the way I think about a city that most of us tend to think of from our Christian lens or our Jewish lens or our Muslim lens. And I've come to see Jerusalem as this amazing combination of cultures and traditions and religious innovations and religious events that have created a unique place that you can't find anywhere else in the world. And a place like the Temple Mount is magical because it is a combination of all of these peoples coming together over 3,000 years to create something that is beautiful, to create something that is rich, to create something that has deep meaning. So for me, that gives me some hope that Jerusalem one day, maybe someday, could be the place of peace that so many of us wish it could be.
Thank you. Thank you.
Andrew's book, Under Jerusalem, is available wherever you purchase your reading material. I want to thank you so much for joining us for this edition of Conversations from Studio 5. Thank you so much for making this your destination for uplifting interviews when it comes to the world of entertainment. Hope you'll join us again right here next week. Next week, we're going to sit down with Tommy Woodard and Eddie James, who are known as the Skit Guys. Trust me, this conversation is one that is going to keep you laughing and bring a smile to your face. For more information on our show, please be sure to check out our Facebook page. You can also find us on Instagram simply by searching Studio 5. I'm your host, Ephraim Graham. Thank you for joining me this week. I look forward to seeing you next week right here on the podcast.